Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with David Rebuck, the director of the New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement, on the rebound of Atlantic City and the possible end of his term. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for land-based and online casinos in North America. Dave Rebuck is now the longest-serving director of the Division of Gaming Enforcement in New Jersey in its 40-year history. But with a new governor being elected in November, it may be his last year. From his initial charge to reform the regulatory system in New Jersey, he has dealt with a myriad of issues, from online gaming to casino closures and more focus on new technology. He talks about the continued challenges to Atlantic City, the new Hard Rock Casino, and the old Revel mess. He spoke with me at his offices in Atlantic City in June. Dave Rebuck, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast. We were doing our yearly catch-up here in Atlantic City at the DGE offices, and it's good to see you again. It's been a more positive year this year for Atlantic City, so let's start with that. It's been a bit of a bounce-back year. Things have improved. We haven't seen any other closings since late last year, so I think we're in pretty good shape. But do you think the industry is finally right-sized, and can it absorb the Hard Rock when the Hard Rock opens next year?
Yeah, I believe that the industry will easily absorb Hard Rock for this reason. When you say we're right-sized, right now I think we're below what we should be.
Okay.
We do many reports coming out of this division. We have biweekly reports, we have monthly reports,
right.
We have quarterly reports, we have annual reports. So we're very transparent on one thing, and that is finances, mm-hmm. and how the performance in the industry is being observed by the outsiders. And I think anybody who looks at the numbers in Atlantic City for the last, 24 months would say that we have stability. We have stability. And that 24-month period, we had stability when we had 8 casinos, even though we had Taj in bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. We had all the Caesars properties in bankruptcy.
Right.
Well, not all, 2 of the 3. And we had stability. Mm-hmm. So we weren't seeing that continual downsizing that was in play for 5-6 years mm-hmm. beforehand. The struggles of Taj were self-absorbed because you had the labor dispute. Obviously, the parties couldn't agree, management and labor, and you had a casino that was really in need of significant investment to bring capital improvements back, and parties didn't agree, and all of a sudden it closed.
Okay.
And so that's happened in October. Now you saw over the last 9 months almost, and we'll see a good month this mm-hmm. month, significantly improved performance
right.
by the remaining 7.
Mm-hmm.
And so the market, they absorbed it without losing it, and those numbers are improvement. And so that combined with the continuing strength of the Internet as an amenity
mm-hmm.
that is clearly not cannibalizing the bricks and mortar operation in New Jersey, I think gives the numbers are showing for themselves, a positive upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have to be cautious still because Atlantic City is still a very sensitive market to outside influences and outside forces. Atlantic City government is under state monitorship right now and trying to get its feet under itself.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the industry has clearly done what they had to do to get a strong foundation.
Right.
And a lot of investment of capital over the last 2 or 3 years by most of the properties. And we're starting to see the benefits of that.
Okay.
So Yes, a lot better position this year today than we were last year. And I think we're going to continue that pattern for a period of time until we see, you know, Hard Rock come on.
Sure.
Next summer.
Yeah. Do you think, given the strength of its brand, Hard Rock could even expand the market here in Atlantic City?
I do. I mean, their data, their database and what they can bring to the market is far superior than having a new operator come in that doesn't have a very strong database mm-hmm. or is not known to the country.
Right.
I mean, this is known
sure.
to the country.
Right.
It's just known locally.
Yeah. No.
So, you know, they're being very aggressive, putting significant capital into that property. They will hit that target. We'll do everything in our end to hit that target. I'm very confident that we're going to have everything lined up for them well in advance of the summer. And then it becomes an operational challenge for them to get everything in order that they need to market themselves and show a great product. So it's going to be a fascinating time frame here over the next 9 months when they have to do a significant amount of renovation, mm-hmm. construction, and I think you're going to see a fabulous product. And it's going to push the market here. Because others have already stepped up. I mean, when you see the amount of capital that's been put in the renovations in
sure.
places like resorts, mm-hmm. Tropicana, you know, Tropicana is cutting a deal right now to buy the Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great addition for them. They put about $100 million in the Tropicana over the last 2 years
mm-hmm.
with major renovations. Harrah's has done a lot, you know, recently in their renovations. Golden Nugget. Tilman Fertitta has just pushed the challenges to the other operators, and not only bricks and mortar, but on the internet to show
sure.
he's
mm-hmm.
he's in this to compete. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting time.
For sure. So one of the things that hasn't changed is Revel / 10.
Yeah.
The owner still doesn't seem to get that he needs a casino license when he owns a casino. Do you think he'll ever... apply for a license or even
well, he's clearly not going to apply for a license. We're in litigation
yep.
and he doesn't think he needs one
mm-hmm.
and we are still before the appellate division here in New Jersey. Our paperwork's, we've all briefed it out and we're waiting for a schedule of oral argument before the appellate division. He clearly has no intention in my mind to ever operate a casino in New Jersey as a regulated individual.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that dispute is one that, in my personal opinion, he will lose. And I also believe his only recourse is to make a determination if he wants to stay in Atlantic City in an empty building
mm-hmm.
or if he wants to move into some other form of operation
mm-hmm.
or if he wants to sell and get rid of it.
Right.
And so the ball's in his court. It's a sad day for Atlantic City for that building to stay closed. I remain optimistic, though, that by this time next year that something will be different.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is clearly in the control of Mr. Straub.
Right, right. Well, should he sell it and to a company that really is interested in operating a casino, could AC absorb another
That'd
casino
be a challenge.
On top of that?
That's going to be interesting.
Right.
So can this market go from 7, which I just mentioned, I think
right.
is easily absorbed to 8.
Mm-hmm.
You got a strong performer coming in. Now, I think that strong performer is going to do a lot to reinvigorate that end of the city and
mm-hmm.
the beachfront.
Right.
And there's a lot of opportunity up there and so then can Revel come in as a casino and compete too? What will it bring? And I don't know. I'd like to see that happen and take a shot at it
mm-hmm.
because it will force others to step up and compete or make a decision to go by the wayside.
Right.
And that doesn't bother me
yeah.
because I believe in New Jersey what we have done is we've created an environment that anybody who wants to compete
mm-hmm.
is going to have as strong a jurisdiction to compete in. We have a very modest tax rate compared to other jurisdictions. We have a regulatory model that I think is the best in the country right now as far as being very pro-business and allowing them to manage their properties in a very professional way while maintaining integrity. And I think that there's no jurisdiction in this country except for Nevada that offers more types of gaming opportunities to its operators than we do, and we can get them, if they have a new idea, we can get it on the market faster than anybody. And if we get sports wagering, then I'll say we may even be better than Nevada, mm-hmm. as it relates to what forms of gaming
right.
are permissible in the jurisdiction mm-hmm. by their casinos.
Right.
So it should be for those who are interested in the gaming world to look at the state of New Jersey and say, you know, that's a pretty good environment to be in, and we're going to push the envelope. Now, if Pennsylvania passes their law, they're going to blow past us because essentially they've allowed any form of gambling known to man
really
at any place in the state by anybody who wants to do it.
Yeah.
So that would be a different scenario. So good luck to Pennsylvania yeah. and what challenges they would have before them.
Yeah, no question. So we had the North Jersey casino referendum soundly defeated last November. Do you see any desire to revisit that idea next year when the two-year period to reexamine it expires?
Yeah, a lot of things are going to happen in next year. We're going to have a gubernatorial election. Mm-hmm. We have all the legislative positions up for election in November. We're clearly going to have a new leadership in the governor's office. Whether or not that becomes a issue first concern to the new administration, we'll let them make that decision. But I would say that if Atlantic City can turn itself around and this market can improve, you're going to have less need from a public policy sense to say we need to expand in other parts of the state. For casino gambling.
Sure.
If this is unsuccessful or we have a downturn, then the forces who want to have a gambling outside of Atlantic City will certainly be in a much stronger position.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that Atlantic City and the people who are here now and the operators here and those who are have that fully in their control. They're either going to compete and do well mm-hmm. regionally, or if they have a downturn, then the forces who want change, I think, are going to have a much stronger say in the matter. So I think we have to be very careful in North Jersey to watch things. These regional markets are continuing to expand.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that.
Right.
Pennsylvania will someday expand gambling one way or the other, whether it's in a new casino in Philadelphia or whether it's new forms of gambling. New York City has three casino operations today. They mm-hmm. call them racinos,
right.
but they have I'll call it a casino. They have a casino in Yonkers that has slot machines and electronic table games. They mm-hmm. have Queens has electronic table games and slot machines. And Long Island has slot machines in a casino. So those who think that casino gambling does not exist in the New York City metropolitan area are woefully mm-hmm. misinformed. Whether that expands is clearly in the control of the New York State government because they have a moratorium today on expanding gambling into that region, but that moratorium has a life of its own that could change or mm-hmm. not. So what happens in New York, you got to keep a very close eye on it.
Right.
And it's clearly in their, you know, it's clearly in their domain and something the state of New Jersey can't do anything about. We should observe. We should be careful. We should be in a very strong competitive position because the state of New Jersey should not be secondary to anybody when it comes to our gambling public policy.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal has always been we want to be the premier jurisdiction in the state in many ways, enforcement, regulation, competition, allowing people to compete, and recognizing that, you know, essentially gambling in the United States is significantly different today than it was in 1978 when
right.
we first started it. And it's going to grow. Right. And it's going to continue to grow.
Right. Okay. So I think we've talked before about, you know, how I perceive the casino operators have been more positive about your administration than any previous DGE director. They appreciate what you've done for them in terms of deregulation and just common sense business matters. What they're not really crazy about is that the regulatory costs have not decreased at the same rate that the number of casinos have decreased. How do you respond to that kind of criticism?
I can tell them quite I give them two numbers here that I tell them all the time. When I started in, and first of all, thank you for that, but the true people that made this happen, I'm just a conductor.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give all the credit to Governor Christie and the legislative leadership with Steve Sweeney and others.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. They gave me a mission, told me what to get done, and hold me accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But they made it happen, not me. So I'm just lucky to have a great staff to help me get things done. But beyond that, to answer your question specifically, I have two numbers I keep on throwing out to the industry and telling them that costs have gone down significantly under this administration. In 2010, $70 million were expended for the oversight of mm-hmm. gambling in Atlantic City. $70 million expended.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, $46 million.
Okay.
Expended for regulation. When I started in May of 2011, we had 343 employees, mm-hmm. not positions, right. employees, overseeing the work of 11 casinos. At that time, we recognized that if Revel going to come on, we don't need any more people. Actually, we should start reducing. Today, for 7 operating casinos, we have 255 employees.
Okay.
255 employees. And we have Internet Gaming, which we have 25 people on the books for Internet Gaming.
Okay.
So, if you want to compare apples to apples, 255 people in the gaming division
mm-hmm.
with 343 when I started. Now, the costs of operation have dropped significantly, which I told you with the expenditures,
right. mm-hmm.
at the same time that the cost in every other government agency are going up in that mm-hmm. 7-year period of time. Now, not a lot, but if you look at the state budget, it was $32 billion when the governor came in. It's now proposed this year to be almost $35 billion. Okay, so you're looking at an almost 10% increase over a 7-year period of time. We went down.
Mm-hmm.
So the delta is even greater. So, yes, I'm conscious of their concerns with the cost of regulation. We look at it constantly. But at the bottom line, to me, I tell the industry, it's about integrity.
Sure.
And if I can't do the job and guarantee your integrity,
mm-hmm.
then guess what?
It's not working.
You're in big trouble.
Right.
Because then I'm going to tell people, I can't ensure integrity, and you're going to suffer.
Right.
But right now, I absolutely can ensure integrity, and I will keep costs under consideration. We have ideas we've shared about further how we can reduce the costs. There are significant legislative changes that would have to occur to accomplish that goal. Whether or not this administration or a future administration wants to tackle those legislative issues, it's up to the industry mm-hmm. to make their case to the legislative leadership and others that, you know, we'd like to see some of these legislative changes that could further assist us to oversee the industry in a way that maybe you can reduce costs and maintain integrity. So we have not said that this war is over and declare victory.
Mm-hmm.
We will never do that. We can't. Because sure. Going back to what I said, it's still a very sensitive market. There's external forces at play in everything that impacts gaming, and you just gotta. You have to watch it regularly. But I understand what the goal is.
Yeah.
And listen, the industry is probably going to come to every state and say, charge me too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
But, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And if they're right and they can point to things that I can reduce, we'll reduce them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to kick back sometimes and say, uh-uh.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a prime example. You know, I keep them, I constantly, since I've been here, oh, they come to me and want to make further reductions in the cost of surveillance or security. Because, you know, you're sure. in the industry. Yeah. They're done bringing a lot of money.
Right. Yeah, not to a revenue-producing...
We were not cutting security or surveillance. Mm-hmm. It is a primary need in this industry and in this city. Safe and secure is critical. They have a role in that area. It's a reasonable role they play, and we're not cutting.
Right.
And I've told that to all of them. The standards in play, it works. We have a very safe environment right now in the casinos. You know, what issues we have are manageable, and with their assistance and our law enforcement assistance, I believe that it's as safe as an environment, a commercial environment, as you have in any entertainment industry mm-hmm. anywhere in this
sure.
state. So I'm not cutting it.
Yeah.
And so stop it. Don't ask me anymore. It's not happening.
Okay.
Now, when I leave, somebody else will do it. They can right. make your case to them.
Yeah, sure. So a couple of weeks ago, the CEOs of MGM and Caesars met with Governor Christie and talked about building a possible convention center, and I'm assuming it's between their properties in the Marina District there. But one of the things they mentioned that they wanted some more regulatory reform. Do you have any specifics of what they wanted done?
You know, we've worked with them a lot mm-hmm. on regulatory reform. I think what they're talking about there was a legislative reform, too, mm-hmm. because
right.
it gets back to what I said.
Sure, right.
There are certain legislative mandates that the director can't change.
Right,
nobody can
right.
change. You have to get them changed by the legislature. Mm-hmm. And some good ideas.
Sure.
I've had some discussions not only with them, with Hard Rock guys, and, you know, they have some good ideas that we look at and we say, I agree with it. It needs legislative change.
Right.
You know, like private gaming rooms. Mm-hmm. To expand gambling in, which I've already done in most areas, but they have some other ideas on how you expand it and do things differently mm-hmm. that really do need legislative change. But on a regulatory front, I mean, the industry knows, and the guys have been involved in this, we made massive changes in 2012, and we made a commitment and a promise and actually a mandate on the industry that every 2 years we're going to sit down and go over the regs again. What's your wish list for changes? What's your wish list for changes? And we just finished the wish list on May 1st for the most recent two-year cycle. And many of those were just put into format to make regulatory changes. You have to send it to the Office of Administrative Law.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've given them a second bite of the apple, so to speak, to give me some more suggestions on how we can then funnel those in and get them done. We really have to get them in really quickly
sure,
in July.
Right.
So we've seen some come in. Most, I would say, are like tweaks. Nothing's going to jump
right.
out and say, whoa, that's a major change. But every little bit helps, and some of them are clarifications, and others are changes that will make the industry happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some they're going to ask for that I'm asking you to say, I'm not doing it.
Right.
So it's like I said with security
sure.
and surveillance.
Right.
Not going to happen. So you can ask for all you want, but I'm not doing it, and somebody else is going to have to force me to do it, and I don't see that happening.
Okay.
So so most of those will be out, I would say, in public through the administrative process.
Mm-hmm.
They're all public.
Right.
Probably, you know, over the next 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I find many of them acceptable.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I don't think any would be earth-shattering.
Okay.
So.
Looking to acquire valuable players for your online casino or even your land-based property? Check out iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing site for legal online gaming in the U.S. iGamingPlayer is one of the first and only online affiliate marketing sites licensed in New Jersey. iGamingPlayer delivers quality customers and profitable players with its mix of online gaming news, play for free games, and information on the best promotions offered by its partner online casinos, poker rooms, and land-based casinos. iGaming Player uses the vast knowledge about players and their behaviors to deliver players to your online casino and act as the bridge to your bricks and mortar property. So visit iGamingPlayer.com to see what you've been missing.
Talk about iGaming. You know, it's continued to grow at a steady pace. You know, my business in the iGaming area is doing very well, so I'm really happy with that. But great report just came out this week by the Idea Group, using most of your numbers,
right.
I think, that really showed how successful iGaming has been in New Jersey. What do you have to do to continue that growth?
Well, I believe that at some point in time, New Jersey is going to tap out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when that is, I don't know, because you've been seeing the numbers. We're on double-digit year-over-year
right.
increase
mm-hmm.
for almost, we're coming up almost 18 months now. Can you sustain that forever? No, of course not. When is it going to tap out? I really don't know. But what you need more than anything else is you need expansion of games,
mm-hmm.
different types of games, or other jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that I have reopened dialogue with A.G. Burnett to determine if we can try to get an agreement between New Jersey and Nevada
mm-hmm.
to have liquidity
mm-hmm.
for the games that all, you know, essentially
sure.
are have it.
Not
and
just
so
poker with Nevada.
You're really dealing right. with, you know, when you talk about liquidity, as you know, about 90% of our revenue comes from games that aren't liquid or
mm-hmm.
when, you know, doesn't matter if I have an agreement with them or not, because you don't. So you would have poker, obviously benefits the game of poker. Progressives,
mm-hmm.
you would have the opportunity for progressive jackpots. You have tournaments,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would be beneficial through an interstate agreement.
Sure.
There are probably other games that would lend themselves to liquidity, but whether Nevada has them or we have them, we'd have to have them.
So
we'd have to have the same game.
So this isn't just wouldn't just be an iGaming agreement. It would go to other games as well. It go to casino floor games and things like that.
Yeah, we already have the casino floor games with the Progressives. That really hasn't taken off
right.
real well, but I think there's an opportunity with progressive jackpots on the internet that.
Mm-hmm.
That's out there.
Yeah.
I also see, you know, maybe an opportunity at some point in time where the technology would lend itself to it, where you would have the bricks and mortar gambler playing in competition or with somebody on the internet.
Right.
You
yeah.
could see that.
Sure.
You know, there are games that lend themselves
mm-hmm.
to that. The technology would have to be developed, the software have to be developed, but you could then move to having an interplay between bricks and mortar player and the internet player, and you could do
sure.
it.
Yeah,
you
please.
Could do it. Now, nobody's done that.
Right.
So I see that as a possibility in the future. Does that benefit the internet? Does that benefit the bricks and mortar? I really don't know, but the industry is going to be challenged with that because we're going to throw it to them and say, can we do this? Why do you not want to do it? And if you don't want to do it, it becomes their business decision. So Tony Rodio at Tropicana has always told me, why are you guys pushing us to do these things? We should be coming to you.
Right.
And I keep telling Tony, because I have a deep desire to be successful in the state of New Jersey. And the only way the state of New Jersey, I believe, can be successful as a partner in this with the casinos is that we got to force you to do things that maybe you don't want to do.
Sure.
Or at least give you something you take to your board or to your senior management and say, well, if they're letting us do this, how come we're not?
Right.
And so it's a strange environment we find ourselves in as regulators today because, you know, on one hand, we still want to ensure integrity, and on the other, we're pushing them to do things that, in a gaming world, that they're maybe not on their front burners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, what else is going on the internet? I would say, you know, we're going to watch very closely Pennsylvania.
Right, of course. Right.
And we're going to strike hard
mm-hmm.
with Pennsylvania. We already had dialogue. So
yeah.
if Pennsylvania authorizes internet gaming, there's another, I mean, that doubles the size of the population
sure.
that can basically engage in internet gaming today
mm-hmm.
with the three states.
Right.
And then the last thing is, you know, the sports wagering. Mm-hmm. If it breaks, you know, we got a long way to go.
Right.
But it is ripe for online play.
Sure.
Ripe for online play.
I have apps on my phone in Nevada. I have four or five apps on my phone.
And I know that when it comes to sports wagering and online gaming, it already exists in Nevada. They do a great job of regulating it. And some of the strongest proponents who are opposed to online gaming today are engaged in online gaming in the sports wagering world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So all the checks and balances that we have on your traditional games that I mentioned, casino games, sure, poker, slot machines, you know your customer, geolocation, tracking the money, not defrauding people, money laundering, consumer protections, already being done by Nevada in the sports wagering world, online, outside the casino, by people who don't want casino games online.
Right.
And so the question of morality of expanding gambling, they already did into online world. It's just that I guess they feel there's a line that has to be drawn about morality as it relates to expanding into other forms of gambling online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll let them make their arguments and fight that one.
Right.
But yeah, we would definitely move in that area if we were successful.
A lot of people don't realize that, you know, the success online gaming has had in Europe is largely sports betting. You know,
it's big.
It's 75% of the market rather than casino games, which we've been successful with here.
Listen, I'm not making any prediction on numbers when it comes to online gaming. I never have. Mm-hmm. Others have. They throw out these huge numbers on what is possible for sports wagering, whether it's online or in bricks and mortar. I don't know. But I do know this, that I believe strongly that there's a market out there that will be very big to go after by the gaming people.
Yeah, no question. So last year you announced a liquidity agreement that you reached with the UK Gambling Commission. Why hasn't that moved forward?
Yeah, we tried. And again, we have three common operators between the UK and
right.
Jersey. We actually had them in the dialogue. And you know, the models that they wanted to implement that they felt would be, in their business sense, I couldn't do here in New Jersey.
Right.
Our law is very restricted in that the gaming servers, gaming servers that allow for the outcome of the game to be determined have to be in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not a business model that that they were willing to adopt.
Right.
We tried to get a little creative with the UK. They were great to work with, but it just couldn't pull it off. So I mentioned we're having a reopening of our dialogue with Nevada. Nevada has a compact already with Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously a very integral part of any compact. I mean, if those states will not allow their gaming servers for online gaming to be here, we really are kind of stuck unless there's a legislative change.
Right, again, this is a tweak
that we
can do.
It gets back to what we said.
Right.
So it's we're not in a very strong position to effectuate liquidity with those restrictions. I understand that they're of concern to other jurisdictions. They're very hesitant. So we try our best to try to come to a resolution and keep working at it.
Yeah.
Keep talking and you know, if we can pull it off, I believe it becomes another opportunity to show to other jurisdictions that there's a uniform system that works amongst a number of jurisdictions, and that it's a lot easier to join that consortium than it is to create a new standalone system and start from scratch.
Right.
Because if I was another jurisdiction now, after what I've lived through for 3.5 years of online gaming here, I would be very cautious of trying to go it alone.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of work, and there's a lot of factors involved in online gaming that are unique to online gaming, and it's not simply just flipping a switch and saying, oh, we're going to turn on the internet today, and it's going to all work.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, folks.
No. Nope.
And you better be on your game when it comes to the internet, because it's there are a lot of new challenges that simply don't exist in the bricks and mortar world.
Right, exactly. So you mentioned sports betting. Yesterday, the Supreme Court accepted the appeal of New Jersey of the sports betting suit. A few weeks ago, Governor Christie said that if they win that case, they could have sports betting up and running first at Monmouth Racetrack in 6 weeks. So has the guy who's going to be overseeing that, is he a little bit optimistic there?
If the governor wants it done in 6 weeks, it's going to get done in 6 weeks.
Okay.
You know how that works.
Yeah, right.
I think the industry is tracking it very closely. I haven't had a lot of dialogue with them on their operations because, we have we've been at this fight for 3+ years. We've been, I tell people, we're 0-7 before. I mean, we lost every step of the way. We're getting close. We had a couple 2-1 decisions.
Right.
We absolutely believe we have a very strong case, but we lost every step of the way. And so yesterday's announcement by the Supreme Court, I'll use the word, was stunning, because I quite honestly was of the opinion that I wasn't feeling really optimistic that they were going to take cert because we had been 0-7,
mm-hmm.
as they had a decision or a memo coming from this Justice Department, from the Solicitor General's office, that was not in our favor. So I am tremendously excited. I think this is we're at a point where we want to be. We're before the highest court in the land. And this whole issue of sports wagering has been evolving in this country a lot because of what New Jersey has done,
mm-hmm.
and actually what Delaware did a few years before us. And now where we are, we're in a totally different environment in what the public wants in sports wagering today than where they were in 1992,
mm-hmm.
when PASPA was passed. And we're going to have a great chance. We have a great team to make our arguments before the Supreme Court, and it's going to take a while, but I imagine it's going to be quite a while before. Well, it shouldn't. I mean, they should. The briefing schedule's out, but I mean, essentially, the earliest you could have a hearing would be in October,
mm-hmm.
and the latest runs to April,
right.
And then you have to have an opinion coming out. So. A lot of long way to go yet, a lot of hard work to be done, but we are in a much better position today in this whole evolving sports wagering area, and it's just going to bring more and more attention to the hypocrisy that exists today with PASPA, and hopefully we can get a victory.
Have you been communicating with the American Gaming Association about their effort to bring this out into the open?
Oh, yeah. The AGA, under Jeff Freeman's leadership, has done a fantastic job in being an advocate for overturning PASPA and giving states the right to make a determination for themselves whether or not they want to have this form of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been a great ally, and they have done a great job of educating many of the stakeholders as to why this is something that should change in the public policy of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, I hope they continue to be our ally and keep pushing and pushing on their end, because at some point in time, we have to be prepared as a country. This is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Right.
Now, how is it going to happen, or when it's going to happen, could be judicial, could be legislative. It's going to happen. And and what is the model for what we want to be done to ensure that you have all the protections that exist today in gaming in this new form of gambling. And it's going to be fascinating to be a part of it. And I absolutely believe that we will be able to do this at the highest level of integrity that exists in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Right.
And, you know, we did this with casino gambling in the 70s. With the internet, I think anybody who looks at how internet is regulated today in the United States will tell you we do things at a much higher level protecting the consumer and the patrons and ensuring integrity than any jurisdiction in the world. Now, I know others will be pissed when they hear it. Shouldn't say that. They'll be upset when they hear that. But look at what changes are happening in the UK. And they're coming down really hard, protecting consumer protection, going after the operators for misleading advertising. We already did it.
Mm.
It's done. It's
right.
been operational here. And we didn't flip a switch to let internet gaming here. Mm. And nor should we flip a switch to model what they do in sports wagering in Europe here.
Right.
We should take the best of what they do
mm-hmm.
and implement it here and build upon it to be even stronger.
Right.
And we can do that. And we've proven we can do that and other forms of gambling in New Jersey. And I have no doubt that other states could do the same thing.
Sure.
Because there are some very talented regulators in the United States.
Okay.
Beyond New Jersey. And
sure. Absolutely. All right, I just have one more question. I want to get a little personal with this. You mentioned the gubernatorial election coming
right.
up, and generally when the new governor comes in, there's a new DGE director.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might be coming to the end of your term.
Yeah.
What would you like your legacy to be here?
Oh, I don't have a legacy. I was depressed about a year ago when I realized that I was the longest-serving Division of Gaming Enforcement director when I personally was asked to, or I wasn't asked, I was directed to come down here and implement what the administration wanted to do. I thought I'd be in and out of here, Roger, in a very naive way. I said, I can get this done in a year. I'll bet this, this will be turned around and this will be, we'll be rolling. Well, that obviously didn't happen, and actually had a lot of bad stories to tell because we were struggling.
Right.
And we were fighting to be more competitive. We were fighting to do things better. We were fighting to turn things around here, and some of the days were very very depressing. So, but we never gave up. And with a lot of support from my staff and the administration, I feel real good where we are today. I mean, we have stability, and we're having the future. We'll have a new director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how things work. You know, whoever wins the administration, if they want me to stay, they'll tell me they'd like me to stay. If they don't want me to stay, they have somebody else they'd like to come in. That person, man, woman, whoever it may be, is do a great job because the staff is very talented here.
Right, right.
And, you know, I will certainly continue to give my advice to anybody of where I see this gaming industry in New Jersey going and what it should be to be done to make it competitive for the future, because one thing I will tell anybody who's the boss is that if you remain status quo in this industry, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit on your laurels, because this is an ever-evolving industry, and it continues to grow with new challenges and new opportunities. And if you're unwilling to be prepared to tackle them and regulate them, then you're going to be in trouble. And so we'll see what happens in the future. I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
I've been very successful in everything I've done, and I'm prepared to do whatever needs to be done to be successful in this area down here.
Great. Well, I'll have to disagree with you. I think you built a great legacy. I think the casino operators in this town would agree with me, and would probably want to thank you for what you've done for all these years. So,
well, again, they got a lot of people to thank here. So I think we have a great relationship right now. We have an honest relationship and open dialogue. We don't agree on everything, obviously, but our lines of communication are wide open, and I think they clearly know if I'm opposed to something they'd like to do, they'll have a very professional response on why it can't be done, and if they wish to do it, what steps they need to do to move forward with their ideas.
Okay.
But like I said, I would agree with you. I think most of the operators who are here right now recognize that if they could have the same type of level of response from the employees from Division of Gaming Enforcement in New Jersey and other jurisdictions, they'd be a lot better off.
Sure, no question. Well, I hope we get to do this next year.
We'll have a victory in the Supreme Court case.
That would be
and
great,
then we
yeah.
can talk. Actually, we can go out and celebrate
because
I got 24 hours to celebrate, and then I got to get back to work and make sure we implement that dang
exactly,
thing as soon
right.
as we can.
Well, thanks for the time, Director. It's great to see you again.
All right. Thank you, Roger.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB podcast, sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing partner for online and land-based casinos. If you want to hear more about the topics discussed today, visit ggbmagazine.com for all the news and trends in the casino industry. For weekly updates, subscribe to GGB News, which delivers all the news of the gaming industry to your desktop, waiting for you every Monday morning. Please join us next week for another edition of the GGB podcast, and don't forget to follow GGB on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, on Facebook and LinkedIn at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Have a great week.